Welcome to this MoneyWeb feature on investing in a UK education for your children. My name is Jessica Hubbard and our guest today is Aran Kerkvliet, Investment Director at the award-winning One Touch Student Property Brokerage based in London. Aran, since the Fees Must Fall campaign and the conflicts at South African universities, more parents are considering sending their children overseas to study. So in today's podcast, we want to explore the cost of studying in the UK and how to actually make financial plans to budget for those costs, as it can seem intimidating and a little bit unreachable for many. So let's kick off with, if you could talk us through the appeal of UK universities and what the benefits are for parents in South Africa.
Sure. The UK is a popular destination, not just for South African students. A lot of overseas students come to study here. Part of the learning experience and so forth. And the appeal is that 18 of the top 100 world universities are in the UK. So highly regarded learning centres, you know, with world-class research. So they attract over 430,000 non-UK students per annum. The appeal is not merely for an education, but the opportunity to immerse yourself in a new culture and for other countries, you know, to make new friends with the potential of a new life abroad. So for South African parents, it's rather appealing, certainly, as you mentioned, with the Fees Must Fall program and, you know, the disruptions that it leads to.
Sure, and there is obviously a very strong connection between the UK and South Africa as it is, so it can be quite a natural step for families here. So how much does it actually cost to study in the UK? Can you break it down for us on quite a general level?
Yeah, the typical cost of studying in the UK is 27,000. And that's obviously R500,000. The bulk of the cost consists of tuition fees and accommodation costs. An international student will pay slightly higher tuition fees of around £10,000, and accommodation costs are between £6,500 and £8,000, and the rest is obviously on living expenses.
Sure. So this obviously can be quite intimidating, and these are large sums, especially given the volatility of the rand and the insecurities here. So how can South African parents start planning on a practical level and work towards this goal?
Well, pension companies have for a long time advised investors to match incomes and liabilities. It's therefore a good idea to have the income in pounds to match the future expenses incurred in pounds. The rand is actually a relatively strong level compared to the pound, especially considering the credit downgrade. So it's a good time to invest. There are various ways to invest in UK property. One way to invest would be in real estate investment trusts, such as Empiric or Diggs. You can purchase shares in one of the largest student property companies called Unite, or you can purchase a studio in a fully managed block. The income generally from either of the options will match the future accommodation costs of the children studying abroad, both in terms of the currency and the asset class.
So some of these options sound a bit technical. Could you maybe take us through the benefits and the actual differences between each of the options you mentioned?
Sure. I mean, a REIT is a real estate investment trust, and Unite is a company. So you can own shares in that company which actually owns the blocks, and the REITs are the same as that. And these blocks are purpose-built for students, so they're located within a short walk of the universities and have all the mod cons, high-speed internet, and communal spaces. So the students can choose to rent an ensuite room, which is part of a five-bedroom flat, or a studio within the facility, and they'll pay between £125 and £200 per week. Then the other option, which we're recommending, is to purchase the actual studio within the specific block. So a lot of overseas investors like the fact that these type of investments are fully managed, and they generate an income stream which is paid quarterly. So the difference there between the real estate investment trust and the company, the listed company, is that they are shares which would only pay an annualized dividend.
And you also mentioned to me before this that they offer a really great option to diversify in that you can own various student blocks across the region. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think in terms of the real estate investment trust, you know, it's one trust that would have own various blocks across the country. And what that means is that you get diversification and that there's, you know, geographical spread. However, the fund manager's salary and expensive offices to pay for, so that's why a lot of investors prefer owning a single unit within a development, because they receive a higher yield, typically 8% net, whereas the REITs and the company, when you deduct the expenses for the fund manager, it actually only comes to around 5.5% income.
So for South African investors, there are obviously some limits in how much you can invest and how exactly these investments work. So how can South Africans immediately get into this market and start planning, and how much can they actually invest at one time?
Well, as you may well know, I mean, South Africans can send R1 million overseas per person per annum without any special clearance from SARS. So investing abroad is relatively easy. Most people don't realize you don't actually need to travel overseas to make the purchase. You would go through the process with a qualified solicitor who would act on your behalf for the purchase. So a lot of our investors actually have never seen the property they purchased. It's like a box that makes them money. All the due diligence information is available in our student investment guide, and the solicitor will answer any questions that you have before proceeding. From a share point of view, you know, such as the REITs, one can open a brokerage account on one of the platforms, which is fairly simple. One of those is Uinvest, and you would just normally send through your FICA information and then be able to transfer funds across. So either way, it's quite accessible for South Africans.
So how does One Touch Property come in here? What is your role? How do you make this process easier for investors sitting in South Africa?
Our business, One Touch Property, sources high-yield investments, including UK student property investments and care homes. We've helped hundreds of overseas investors to purchase off-plan property within the UK. So we work closely with student property developers and the management companies to provide hands-off, fully managed properties which will deliver net yields between 8 and 9% per annum.
And as I understand, you're from South Africa, you come from here, so you understand the South African mindset and you understand what the fears are around such an investment.
Definitely. Most South Africans want to own something, and the idea of owning a studio appeals to them. These properties are in major university towns like Liverpool, Birmingham, Sheffield, and they provide the option for the investor, for their child to use the property when they come study in the UK. Typically, South Africans have been more nervous than investors from other countries because they like to meet people and they're not as accustomed to purchasing over the internet. But we've certainly seen an increase in investors from South Africa, and I suppose it's got a lot to do with the current economic climate and the worry that the children wouldn't be able to receive a first-class education in South Africa.
So just to clarify again for our listeners, we're not talking about a fund. We're talking about investing in an actual off-plan property in the UK and then making it available for your child if they want to work in the UK and study in the UK as a stepping stone. But obviously, every type of investment comes with risks. So could you go through the risks for us?
Yeah, sure. A lot of investors feel nervous about investing overseas and they want to come to the UK to see the property. However, what they found was that it was unnecessary because of the legal process of how the funds are released. They're only released on a presentation of actual works completed by the building contractors. So the developer's objectives are aligned with yours in that they make money at completion. So the property purchase is done through stage payments, which is typically 50% upfront, and that money is released for building works as they progress, and then 25% at roof height, and then the final 25% at completion. And how people are protected is that a building surveyor would go through and inspect the property at roof height and ensure that it's built to the specification as per the contract. And then again, upon completion, before the final 25% is released, which is really the developer's profit, the surveyor would sign it off, and it comes with new build warranties, just like you'd have in South Africa.
So as with any income-producing investment, how secure is the income and how does it actually work?
Well, the UK student sector has been one of the best performing asset classes since 2011. Just last year, $3.5 billion was invested by pension funds and institutional investors because student property has one of the lowest vacancy rates. It's a low-risk investment because the parents sign as guarantors, and most student property developers provide a rental assurance to secure the income. So even if the student drops out, the investors actually pay the income on a quarterly basis, which I mentioned is 8% net after all expenses. Based on the purchase price of £70,000, you know, that's £5,600 of income, which is almost 100,000 rand.
So is that net after taxes?
Yeah, we have special experts that would help with the tax planning. So they can end up in a net no tax position, but the tax would normally need to be deducted. However, in the UK, for each individual that invests in the UK, the first £11,000 of income is tax-free. That means if a person were to buy two properties, they'd still be around the threshold of the 11,000 income. So if we considered the example above, you know, 70,000, you'd receive 11,200 worth of income for the two units, which means that you'd only pay 20% on £200, which obviously is just £40. So, you know, it's very low income tax rates.
Sure, and obviously the whole idea is it's not a bad income and it could go some way to paying towards your child's university fees and living costs and giving them that amazing opportunity of studying abroad.
Yeah, that's the general idea. We're encouraging South Africans who are trying to plan for their children's future to take the steps to bring some rand across while the pound is relatively weak. And a sense it makes sense to fix your income with expenses in the same currency. So considering an ever-changing political climate in South Africa, it's the very least I think parents could do to make sure that at least options are available for their children in the future.
Sure, but there is obviously a lot of political change and political turmoil happening in the UK as well. There's a lot of talk about Brexit and how that's going to impact everyone in Europe and particularly in the UK. So what are your views on Brexit and how does that relate to South African investors and their plans?
Sure. I mean, South African investors are being cautious and wondering about the impact of Brexit. And the reality is that the UK is Europe's biggest customer. And why wouldn't they want to do business with the UK? You know, it really is a process of renegotiating the terms. One has to bear in mind that international tariffs have plummeted to below 2%, and the EU can't obviously charge much higher than that because the UK trade will simply go elsewhere. So for sure, you know, some currency fluctuations might happen in the medium term, but the outcome for the UK, I'd say, you know, over, you know, 5 years, does look more promising than South Africa. And I'm surprised that the rand is actually so strong considering the challenges of the state capture, corruption scandals and the recent credit downgrade. So projections for the rand to devalue on average 5% per annum relative to the pound, you know, is quite probable. So, you know, it's a good time to start investing abroad, especially if you're considering sending your children overseas.
Yeah, sure. So, Aran, just before we end off, could you just take us through how South African investors can get in touch with you and can access your services at One Touch Property?
We have the banners that are on your page. If you click onto those, it will lead you through to an inquiry page. We're actually coming to South Africa as we do each quarter, and they could book a meeting with us. We're going to be there from the 8th to the 16th of June. Alternatively, they could go onto our website, which is onetouchinvestment.co.uk.
That was Aran Kagvliet, Investment Director at One Touch Student Property Brokerage.